and welcome to Holden Village. Today is December 27th, year 2000. And this evening in the fireside is Bob Holum and Debbie Bagby. And they shall be doing the opening session of Peace is the Way Retreat. The session number is HOB 2000-1. Now, why don't you just sit back, relax, and have a listen.
Two wonderful friends who have come to Holden Village for the very first time to share with us this retreat. Bob and Debbie are here. Thank you for being here. And I'm sorry your luggage didn't come with you. I hope you didn't. That was a violence, didn't you?
We've been actively practicing nonviolence.
The last 24 hours.
How we deal how we dealt with our travel rage. It's put us both in touch with a lot of those inner kind of violent tendencies. I missed your name, sir, the man by the post.
Mike Brown.
I really identified a lot with what you said about constructive dealing with anger, and that's a lot of what brings me to this topic. Is having grown up a good Lutheran farm boy in the upper Midwest, I was taught never to express anger. It was always to be nice and cheerful. And a lot of it has had to do with figuring out how to recapture and reclaim some of that. I'm pastor of Luther Place Church in Washington. I've been there for 5 years. First as director of the Lutheran Volunteer Corps and now as senior pastor. I was a college graduate in 1968 when violence and nonviolence were, I suppose, more talked about than any time, maybe before or since, I don't know. It was really a watershed year and I realized that a lot of who I am and who I've been since then has to do with having come of age at that time. And I have a wife, Benny, who's was to be here and had identified with what you said about the violence you need to do to yourself or needs to be done to you. She's had surgery on her hand to correct an arthritic thumb joint from a surgeon who I think is one of the most violent people, just in terms, not so much in terms of his surgery, but the way he treats his patients and dehumanizes his patients. And it just put me in touch with how much violence many of us experience in the health, in our relationship to medicine. And that's another area where I struggle with, to understand violence and not violence. Benny has been chronically ill for the last 3 years, and done a lot of focusing on anger around health issues and how to deal with that constructively. Our church deals with nonviolence in a number of different ways, which we'll get into as we go on. And I'm awfully happy to be here, having worked now for a long time with people who come and go from Holden Village, Ron Molabita, Chris Beckmeyer. Lots and lots of people who've been involved in Lutheran Volunteer Corps. Stacy herself recruited me for this. Very honored to be asked to do this. And real happy to have a chance to work with Debbie, because we've worked together on and off for 25 years. And we've had more time just to be friends with each other in the last 48 hours, I think. Kind of forced friendship,
it,
you know?
It really has been so.
And we're still friends. I think we may have bonded a little bit more. Anyway, that's me.
Well, I'm Deborah Bagby. I'm a minister of music at Epiphany Lutheran Church in Burtonsville, Maryland. And I'm the co-chairperson of the This Far By Faith African American Hymn Project. And the African American hymn book, This Far By Faith, is based on music of Africans and African Americans of the diaspora, and how we've spread all over the world, and music taken from Africans and African Americans all over the world, and the use of liturgy by North American, African Americans and Africans. Several Africans have written parts of these liturgies that you've seen, who are, our liturgies are mostly Ghanaian, so that tells you that's the liturgies of West Africa that some of the rites you would see in this book. And my whole life has been involved in the African American culture and the use of music and how we use music. And as for violence, Bob and I were talking about, we see a lot of violence all the way. When you talk about war, when I was in Africa, the Liberian War had just begun. And when we were in South Africa, and South Africa had not been free and all that was going on was there. And then there was Desert Storm. And then I got to go, my members from Serbia, been to Serbia, and all that they had gone through. We do see a lot of violence amongst us, constantly. My members of my congregation are Haitians, and they travel back and forth almost every other week, working in health organizations. There's a lot of violence amongst us and around us. And those of us who work in this, we were laughing today about people stealing the car batteries and how we prevented people from stealing the car batteries. And I was in Camden, New Jersey, and I was telling Bob that they thought my house was a rather regular stop and go for car batteries. Every other day, they were stealing the battery. And the anger that these little things gather, and how you deal with it. Well, do you just go out and put a chain on the car? Do you put a sign up, you steal another car battery, you're dead? You get a Rottweiler? You know, what do you do? It's those little aggravations in life can get to you. We were standing at the passenger, they lost her baggage. And there was this German couple, and she had been traveling for how many days?
Well, two full days.
Two full days. And she was tired. And she was mad. And you know something? We got out of her way, because she let them have it. We did nothing. We stood there like nymphs. But there was nothing you could do. They had lost the luggage. You know, you really, how can you get angry with people? But she let the people have it. And you know something? Everywhere we were doing our journeys, there was a lot of anger. It's amazing for the season of peace. Yeah. There's a lot of anger. So I guess that's what brings me often to this subject and think about how often we and how we deal with all of it.
I think before we do that, we will do about 5 minutes of introduction. There's something I like to do when I start a lot of gatherings like this with groups. And Benny would do this if she were here. She's a movement person, my wife, and she's got 20 years as a modern dancer and dance teacher. But she gave me the movements to this. It's a song that comes from the Church of the Brethren tradition. At least that's where I learned it. That's a peace tradition, a peace church. I learned an image, a statement from the Church of the Brethren Center at New Windsor in Maryland, where I spent a lot of time, that a stick planted in the bank of a river can change the course of the river, and that one person who takes on the practice of nonviolence can change the course of history. And this song kind of is a little invocation of that spirit. The movements to it go like, it's Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. And the Spirit, this is a sign for the wind, actually, the Spirit, you can do that, the alternating sides, kind of feels good to do. Spirit of the living, there's just two L's, living, God. And this is like the rain that you felt here last night, fall, fresh on me, Spirit of the living God, fall, fresh on me. And this is the icicles on the roof, melt me, drips of water coming down, melt me. This is the bread that we had not bake me, but mold me like a piece of dough, mold me, fill me like a basket. And this is from my grandmother, who used to churn butter out in the Dakota prairies to sell in town. Use me, Spirit of the living God, all fresh. Me. We'll sing it twice. First time we'll say on me, and the second time we'll say on us. And I think we can stand, and your body kind of needs to move around a little bit because we've been sitting still. Feel free to let the rest of your body move too. One of the things we learned in doing the reading for that is, of course, that a lot of male sexual abusers are people who've been abused themselves, that sexual abuse, like, and I think the same is true of violence, and it's, there's studies of that as well, that people who are violent tend to have been people who've had violence done to them. But also some reading that suggests that one of the reasons why males, and we'll get into this in the retreat a little bit, one of the reasons why males sometimes are inclined to physical expressions of anger is because our culture doesn't teach men, and I think the same is true of women, very many good physical ways of expressing feeling. And some of violence has to do with a lack, we don't learn enough colors in the palette of emotion, mm-hmm. and too much gets repressed, and it can come out violently. Like Popocatapetl right now down in Mexico City, if you've been following the stories of the volcano, mm-hmm. Some of us are carrying around unused emotion inside of us that doesn't get expressed. Well, what we're going to do in the retreat is try to look at some of the inner sources of violence, as well as the inner sources of nonviolence, of nonviolent behavior. We want to look at the story. I'm going to be sharing a little bit of the story of Luther Place in D.C., which is a church whose modern mission was born out of the riots in Washington, or some people say riots, others say civil disturbances. But the violence that took place in Washington, D.C. in 1968 kind of forged this ministry. And it's progressed since 1968, now almost 32 years. Two things I think we want to look at involved in nonviolence. One is active resistance of evil, and the other is the creation of alternative, non-oppressive forms of human relationship. They're both covered in that vow, but we'll kind of be looking at those two things. We'll do it through storytelling, we'll do some Bible study. In the mornings at 9, we'll gather here for about an hour of group session, which we'll do some talking, some Bible study, some storytelling about Luther Place and about the way nonviolence has happened there. After the break, those of you who would like to come back, I don't know how long the coffee break usually is, half an hour, I guess. Mm-hmm. About 10:30, those who wish to, I'm going to be using the time from 10:30 probably till about 11:30. In contemplation and prayer around issues of violence and nonviolence, and I'm going to have prepared some devotional activities that we could do together, some contemplative prayer and probably some intercessory prayer too. So about an hour of prayer time then for anybody who's interested. And then in the evenings, Deborah will be the primary leader. We're going to kind of work through the history of African-American sacred music as an illustration of the way culture contributes to the formation of a nonviolent style of social change. The African-American experience in the United States, at least, has been one of experiencing incredible violence and reacting with incredible nonviolence. Over a 500-year period, active resistance, but almost in all cases nonviolent resistance. So it's a real important thing to look at, and we'll experience that through music rather than through lecture or discussion. I will also do some role playing in the evenings. I want to do some practicing of kind of, in some ways, nonviolent. One of the things that people who are in this field say that if you think in advance about how to react nonviolently in a situation, you're much more likely to do it constructively. Rather than, as Norwegian-American farm boys tend to do, getting red in the face and putting your heart rate up real high, getting the blood pressure up. But we'll do some role-playing in the evening, kind of practicing in some situations, simulated situations where a nonviolence is called for. So that's kind of what we had in mind, and we're going to be flexible and go with the flow, and be thinking a lot about the goals that you set and trying to weave those in to what we do. Any questions or comments? We have, I guess, 8 sessions, probably morning and evening, something like that. We'll be going through, I think the last one will be Sunday morning.
And I hope you...
Go ahead.
I hope you can attend, all of you can attend as much of it as possible, but know that you can jump in if family calls or work calls or a nap calls. Know that you can re-enter even if you miss a session or two. You're welcome at any point.
Okay.
I'd suggest that we end with the rest of the litany on the sheet that we started with. And why doesn't my side be side one and Stacy's side be side two? Lord, make
us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is discord, let us sow union. Where there is doubt, let us bring faith.
Where there is despair,
let us bring hope. Where there is sadness, let us bring joy. Let us seek to console rather than to be consoled. Let us seek to love rather than be loved. Let us seek to forgive as we have been forgiven.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Mother, holy and blessed is your true name. We pray for your reign and peace to come. We pray that your good will be done. Let heaven and earth become one. Give us this day the bread we need. Give it to those who have none. Let forgiveness flow like a river between us. From each one to each one to each one. Lead us to holy innocence beyond the evil of our days. Come swiftly, God, our healing power. For yours is the power and the mercy and the wisdom. Forever your name is all in one. Amen.
May the blessing of the living God remain always with us.
And with our absent brothers and sisters. Amen.
Go in peace. Practice peace in all you do.
Thanks.
Rest well.